You're listening to In the Moment
with Liv and Bix.
Hey, it's Liv.
And Bix, and you're listening to In the Moment with Liv and Bix, a podcast for unsuccessful actors.
By unsuccessful actors.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome.
We got a star on the show. We have a star.
I'm done
right
with
before
you.
Our eyes on our podcast right now.
The dramatic.
Because your girl over here, Liv, I have been holding my tongue, waiting to ask you. You booked another co-star.
I did.
And it was so quick, the turnaround. You already filmed it.
Oh my God.
Tell us all about
it. Very quick. So I booked a co-star on the show Ghost Power. This is going to be for season 4. They are currently in production. And it was, Bix was right. The turnaround was super, super fast. I auditioned probably like a week ago. And then a week later, I got you're pinned. And then, not joking, they said I was pinned. And then like 3 hours later, maybe less, they were like, okay, you booked it. And I was like, oh, that was the quickest turnaround ever. And then literally I was filming less than a week later. I booked it on a Wednesday and I was filming by a Monday.
That's so
that
nuts.
Was like 5 days later. So yeah, it was insane. And I have to say, it was such an incredible experience. I mean, it was like my second co-star, so this time is a little different. Just the fact that I kind of like had a little bit more of an idea was like what was going to happen. And, you know, I already had an idea of what it felt like to be on set. So that was good. I was familiar with those things like the hair, the makeup, just the protocols and all that stuff. But I will say what really I enjoyed this time was I really was working very closely with the director of Ghost. So the director is Jono Oliver, and I do hope I'm saying his name correctly, but I worked closely with him, and I feel like it was like on Three Women, I did work closely with the director then, but this time it was much different. I feel like they really nurture their actors there, so he like came, and not saying they don't on Three Women, just I happened to work
with
the director.
It was just like, yeah, it was a different experience.
Yeah, just a different experience, and he did a read-through with us, which was different than what I've done, a read-through with all the actors when we did a rehearsal. And in Three Women, we did not do, like, a read-through. Like, it was just straight up, like, all right, rehearsal, okay, let's go. Like, all right, let's just shoot it. And this time, he literally sat with us. He gave us notes. He was very clear and concise in what he was looking for. So if he wanted you to pick up the pace, he'd be like, pick up the pace. If he wanted it to be more, you know, he's like, oh, can you do it a little bit more like you don't really believe him? Less like you're praising him, but more like you don't really believe him. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I really appreciated the fact that he communicated everything he needed, and which is a good director. And I feel like, and also the fact that he really did a few read-throughs with us, all the actors together. I also got to work with the lead actors as well. So the lead actors, the characters, I know it's Tariq and Brayden. They're played by Michael Rainey. So the other actors, I got to play opposite the leads.
Amazing.
So I got to play opposite Gianni, and I don't want to butcher his last name, but his first name is Gianni, and then Michael Rainey Jr. And they're both the leads in the show. Those are the actors' names, but they're both the lead in the show. They play Tariq and Brayden. And that was a really cool moment to my co-star role was having a conversation with both of them. So, and I was talking about the actions, something that happened with Tariq, and kind of, yeah, questioning if that actually happened, this heroic act that he did. But I don't know how much I can say or
right.
whatever. So I'm
Keep
just keeping it very,
up.
Yeah, I'm keeping it very broad. So, yeah, so that was really incredible and it was very surreal. And yeah, I just feel really lucky to have done that. And it's just very cool to see like the behind the scenes. And yeah, it's always cool just to see how everything works and how it comes together. And I had an absolute blast on set. I really, really did.
I feel like I would probably prefer, like, I like a quick turnaround so it doesn't give you too much time to like sit and like get anxious or like think about it. Like, you're just like.
I have to tell you too, Bix, I got cast originally for, it was student 4, and then they gave me then student 2, And I actually had more lines. So see, that's another thing. And we talked about this last episode that the script is ever changing. Mm-hmm. So there, it's never final. So what I auditioned for student four, they cast me for that. But then literally 2 days before, they're like, never mind, she's student two. And my lines changed completely. Whoa. And I had more lines. So they gave me more lines and my lines changed. And on top of that, I got to set. And while we're doing rehearsal, one of the other students with me, he's like, yeah, by the way, we're actually going to have you add this in your lines. So right before they're about to shoot the scene. So my point is, it's really always changing the script.
It yeah,
really
nothing is set changing. In stone. Yeah,
nothing is set in stone. And you have to be, as an actor, be able to think quick on your mm-hmm. toes and be like, oh, okay. And when they give you direction, that's also another time you have to be able to take it and really implement it.
Yeah, because things are moving so quickly. So and they also need set. The... Just like the option, because I've even noticed, like, I've been doing so much fucking background work through Book Talent. So if anybody yes. is looking for background work, these calling services, they will book you. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work, but do it if you want. But even doing like a lot of the background stuff, you can see that like, yeah, of course, they have a trajectory of where the scene is supposed to go, what the plot is, what's moving the plot mm-hmm. forward. But they'll have us do all kinds of different things. Like, I just worked Rap Shit, that HBO show.
Oh, my God.
Season two. Yes. It was.
Oh, my God. Her outfit.
Oh, my. Yeah. Like, it was.
Fire.
Yeah. My outfit fire. Was so cool. I felt so yeah. cool. The set, like, also the whole production team, everybody was so kind, so sweet. Everybody, like, the cast, the crew. It was just, like, such a, just, like, happy environment. Like, everybody was just like having fun and being joyful, and like yeah. it was so great. But we would get different directions from the directors, and they would ask us to do things in different ways. Like, okay, so when she comes out on the stage, like, cheer and applaud, go fucking crazy, blah 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 blah. And then he'd be like, okay, let's do that again, but now you're gonna be more like, who is this bitch? Like, she's not from Miami or what, you know what I mean? So
yes,
even that, big scenes of just the actor coming out on the stage, like, they can change the like tone of the scene just by adjusting certain things with just like background.
And what were you doing in that scene? Because your outfit really was, I'm not kidding, guys, it was like really insane, like in a good way. I was so like, oh my God, cute. This is sick. It was so cute. So what was the scene? Like, what were you doing?
So the first scene, I was a pedestrian, and I actually got booked with my car, my boyfriend's car, actually, because he has like a really big off-road like Bronco.
Beautiful.
So I got booked with my car.
That car is so cool.
It really like, yeah. I love that car. When I yeah. drive it, I feel so cool, but I always let people so know. Cool. I'm like, this is my boyfriend's car. This is not my car.
Yeah.
So I got booked with my car. They didn't end up using me with my car because when I got there, I was in and out of wardrobe. They kept changing my costume and giving me different and going back and forth and like having to get approved. And then I had to go in and get all of my tattoos covered up. So I'm like, and the woman, it was really funny. She was like, oh, you just have like little ones, you'll be quick. And then when I sat down, I was like, I have little ones, but I have a million of them. And she was doing it just with like the brush, the stipple brush. And all these guys have the sleeves and they're getting airbrushed mad quick. And she looked at me and she was like, I should have done the airbrush.
Oh, no.
So I was just in makeup for so long that ended up replacing me with my car. So I was still in the scene. They didn't use my car. Still paying yeah. me for my car bump.
For your car.
Which
Good.
Is great. So I was just like a pedestrian on the street. And then the second scene was like a concert scene. So we were just like literally in a club getting it. Yeah, it was so much fun. I loved it. And it was a long day, I will say. It was a long fucking day.
How long was the shoot?
My call time was originally 6 a.m., but it ended up being mm-hmm. pushed back to 8. And we lovely. Didn't wrap until like 11
p.m.
p.m., yeah, which is like normal. But it was a long day.
So, Bix, my call time was 6 a.m. And guess what I was wrapped?
10.
12:30.
Amazing.
Yeah, same difference.
You see, but that's what's amazing about when you're like principal like, or co-star, guest star, because you do your shit and you get wrapped and you leave. Backgrounds, okay. like, you got to sit around. You got to wait for the next scene. You got to.
But that depends on the scene because that's Three Women. Yeah, Three Women. I was in the dream sequence, and that it was grand. The dream, like it was huge, and there were so many moving parts that it took 12 hours to shoot, like that one scene.
Yeah,
but it was. Because it was like really grand.
Damn. So yeah, the scene that we were shooting, like similarly to when I was working Winning Time, that like Lakers, LA Lakers show.
Yeah.
You have the basketball players and they just have to keep running these plays and running and running and running. And it was the same thing. The performers had to just keep doing their performance and they're like rapping, dancing, like getting it. And
yes,
for hours. So it's a lot of hard fucking work that goes into
these
just like short scenes.
It takes a village.
It really, truly, it really, really does. So crazy. Yeah. But I've been feeling good about, I think, acting lately. I think I've been like the beginning of this year, I feel like for the both of us has been kind of moving and grooving and we're on a good track, I will say.
I agree with you. I feel like it's been really good for both of us. I feel like we're both staying in our craft. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to always like kind of be on set or getting auditions. And I know Bix has been getting a lot of auditions.
I just had my third audition for the same project yesterday.
Oh, wait. Is it like the third round?
Yeah.
Congratulations. What is this for?
You. So it's for like a – I think I might have told you about it a little bit, maybe on the podcast even – it's like a mystery series of sorts.
Okay. Oh. Yes, at the animation?
Yeah, it's going to be like a live action motion capture thing. It's really cool when I could share more. I mean, if I book it and can share more information, I definitely will. But yeah, it was great. The first two auditions were self-tapes and then the third was in person. So I went down
and
to
And how was the in-person?
It was really good. This is my second in-person audition since moving to LA. And the first one that I did...
They're so rare now.
I know. Yeah, so rare. Yeah. The first one that I did was a first audition too. They were just like having people come in. I was like very shocked. That was when I like kind of first moved here. And before I started working with my acting coach, Annie, shout out to Annie Grinley. So it was like fine. But this one that I just had yesterday, literally, like, I have not felt more prepared for something in my life. Like, I still had anxiety.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, like, I really think, like, this class that I've been taking, it's specific to auditioning on camera. It's, like, just specific to being in the room with people. And it forces you to just work that muscle every single week. So it has helped me so immensely. Like I usually just, I can't do like the in-person stuff. Like it freaks me out. I have to like be getting prepared for days and days and days in advance.
Yeah.
And as much as I was getting prepared, it wasn't in such like a manic way. I really like have figured out a good system for myself to not like,
a healthier way.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so pretty much it was great. The audition was great. It was like at the green screen studio. So I got to see like the whole setup, like where we're going to be filming, what the whole vibe is. I got really good feedback. I made them laugh. I was joking around with them. So I feel really good. Fingers are crossed. I'm hoping for the best. But yeah. And oh my God, I just got another audition and don't mark my words on this, but I did some research into the people listed on the breakdown, like the writers, producers, director, and they're all the people who do, and even the name of it, they're the people who do Lifetime movies. So even the name of
it. Did you just speak it into existence?
I know. Even on my website, in my bio, it literally says, like, my bio is just like, winning an Oscar would be cool, but my real dream is to be in a movie called My Grandma Killed My Sister's Landlord or something. So I have an audition for what I'm assuming, it's not listed as this, but what I'm assuming is a Lifetime movie and it's due on Sunday. So, and it's the lead.
Well,
and it's the lead.
And good luck. Good luck. I'm sending you all the booking vibes.
Thank you. Booking vibes, booking vibes, booking vibes.
Booking vibes.
Yeah, so I am super excited. I definitely think that I have spoken. I've been talking about wanting to be in a Lifetime movie for literally years.
For so long. So long. So this is really good. And I really hope you get this. I really
do. Thank you. Before we hop into our topic today, I did want to give somebody a little shout out. If any of you are old listeners from when we were a little Bachelor podcast, you'll remember our Apple podcast one-star scandal.
Oh my God, yes.
And ever since then, like, I've had like PTSD. Like, I don't want to go onto Apple Podcasts. I don't want to look at the reviews. I'm like scared. It was just like,
I look at them.
Oh, amazing. So great.
I got you.
For anybody who doesn't know, pretty much we were a Bachelor podcast.
Yeah.
We were on like a collab with another podcast. A contestant from the show listened to it. She didn't like something and had like a gaggle of people like leave us bad reviews or whatever. And it was all rectified. Everything is fine. We're great.
It's fine.
We're back to 4.5 out of 5 stars. So thank you to everybody who helped us.
Yes.
So I looked yesterday because I was like, I wonder if we have any reviews from our now ITM 2.0. And we do. We have.
We do.
We do. And I'm going to read it to you right now.
No joke. Every day. And I have not found one. So
here we go. The one day you missed. I got it.
But literally. Like, oh my God.
So we got a 5-star review from Music Lover Forever 3748. So shout out to you. Thank you so much. They said, every actor needs to listen. This is the information and inspiration every aspiring or seasoned actor needs to hear. With 4 to 5 exclamation points, I can't tell because I'm dyslexic. But yeah, oh my so God. That made me feel really good.
Thank you. All the, yeah.
And also thank you to everybody for, we've been getting really good feedback on our last podcast with Stephanie and Kalani of Pure Magic Pictures. And yeah, just all this feedback is, it may seem small, but it isn't. It means a lot to us.
It makes such a huge difference. Yeah. And it makes us feel, yeah, it makes me feel like everything that we are doing is like for a reason. Like, right. I mean, we're doing it because it makes us happy, of course, to talk about acting and to just be in our element, but to know that it's actually helping people. Yeah, that definitely warms our heart. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll have to like talk, maybe figure out something that we can do for people who leave reviews, you know, like we could give you a shout out. Maybe we'll figure out some type of like, maybe like a sticker or something. So we'll talk.
Let us know.
We'll talk and we'll come back to you guys. But yes, thank you so much to Music Lover Forever. You are forever in our hearts.
Well, today we are going to be talking about representation, right? We've been talking all about the self-taping, kind of giving a little behind the scenes tips and tricks on auditioning and whatnot. But, you know, I always say you are your best cheerleader, right? We are our number one cheerleader.
It's true.
Or you should be,
at least. Get your pom-poms out.
Yeah, get your pom-poms. I love that. Get your pom-poms out. But it always helps to have people in your corner advocating for you. So I know when I first started, I just worked on getting my resume, my credits built up, getting my reel together, having solid foundation of acting, like a solid foundation of, I don't know how to study, you know.
Yeah, just like technique.
Belt. And then,
yeah,
technique. And I made sure my credits were there and I made sure my reel was put together and I had my marketing material.
Speaking of credits,
ready.
I just have a question really quick.
Yeah.
When it comes to your credit for Three Women, because it was a like canceled production, is that credit still going to come up on IMDb for you? Because I'm shows
sure.
still have a page.
Yeah.
Even if they don't
go to air. So I just checked. But it's very fresh that just happened. The show got pulled. So it's still on my IMDb, but that can change. But let's say that does happen to you, forever is listening. If you're on a show and it gets canceled and then your credit on IMDb disappears, that's okay. You can still keep the credit on your resume. Like that credit is staying on Actors Access. It is staying on there. It is staying on my resume that my manager submits. Like I am keeping it. So just so you don't like lose hope, like, oh no, but like, yeah, you might not be able to see your scene, which is sad, which sucks, but at least you have that credit and you can say, hey, I did book that.
Yeah,
role.
I booked
but
it.
But yeah, that
I
is a good question. I don't know because I already, I did check and it was still there, but it's very fresh that it happened. So maybe it just hasn't had time to like,
I think it's going to stay. I don't think that they take stuff down on IMDb, but I don't know. We'll see.
Find out.
We'll find out.
Just going back to like, yeah, so you want to make sure you have all your material ready, right? So number one, I'm going to say that your agent and manager, I want to start off to say that they're only there to help you. So they're not like the magic switch. So once you get an agent and manager, something incredible is going to happen, which hopefully you get really great auditions, but you need to be committed to acting just as much as they are committed to getting you that job.
Yeah, like if those principles like aren't put in place within yourself, nobody is going to do that for you. So like if you get representation, but you still don't have all of that strong foundation that you were talking about, that's not necessarily going to change. Like that's not to sound like a jerk, but like that's, it's kind of like a you problem.
No, it is. And I feel like, and there was funny, I saw a couple TikToks where it was like, oh, when you get an agent and manager, but then have no plan, like, okay, what now? Like you have the agent, but that's the thing. Like make sure you have a plan and an idea of what you want and make sure you know why you want that agent and why you want that manager. Because if you're just hoping that when you get the agent manager, there's just going to be like a complete 180, that I don't want to say that won't happen. Maybe for some people that has happened, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee success.
Very true. Yeah. And I like what you said about knowing why. Like this is a really important part of getting representation is finding the people who are the right fit for you. So you can't just Google like LA talent agents and then just submit to everybody on the list, because that's going to make you one, it's just not feasible to do. Like you can do it, but it's going to make you look unprofessional if you're submitting to a talent agency. Like if I submitted to a talent agency and then I went back and looked at their roster and it's all like middle-aged like men, I'm going to look like an idiot when that agent opens up that email and they're going to be like, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Middle-aged men. Yeah. But you know, also Bix, like, and obviously everyone listening, but like these people, agents and managers, if you are exclusive to them, and we'll get into that too with contracts, exclusive or if you are freelancing, but if you are exclusive, agents get 10% of your money and managers can take anywhere from 15 to 20%. So you want someone who is fit for you if they're getting the money from the work that you're booking. So that's why I also feel like be smart about it. Be strategic. They're on your team and they're also getting a cut. So make sure you are strategic about who you have on your team.
Yes. Right? Definitely. And yeah, and make sure like they're booking stuff that aligns with the plan that Liv, you were just talking about. So you know, submitting to an agency just because they're an agency isn't you're not going to get reap the same benefit as if you submit to an agency that you researched these shows that you want to be on that are filming in your location and you found that they're the ones that are booking these roles. That's going to be a whole different ballpark when you work, you know, when you submit to that agency and hopefully like get in.
And let's backtracking before we even like, okay, so, you know, you're looking up the agencies. Okay. But before you start researching your agents, make sure, and actually Bix, we had a question on our TikTok. Somebody reached out to us and said, hey, I want to reach out to agents. Like, what do I have to do? And before you even get there, make sure you have your material. So make sure you have good headshots, right? And we have a whole episode about headshots. Mm-hmm. We do. So make sure to check it out if you haven't. Make sure you have solid headshots that really represent and market you in your best light.
Something like a little, I mean, it's not unfortunate. It's just like the way that things go is make sure you have good headshots, but also like don't completely break your bank for those like initial headshots, because most of the time when you sign with an agency, they're most likely going to have you retake shots with, you know, photographers that they go to, that, you know, their studio kind of works with. So I did this. I spent a lot of money on my headshots and I really do love them. And I have been submitting to agencies this beginning of the year and I'm prepared for when I get into wherever I get into that I'm probably going to have to get new shots. And that's just the thing that I gotta deal with. So
the
just
name
like
of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So just like a little tip, like try to stay on the more affordable
tip.
Side, but still good. Still good, still like
yes.
Yeah.
Something that does represent you.
Right.
And like I said, just in your best light, but it doesn't, you don't have to break the bank right away. But yeah, they what Bic said, I think that's a great tip. And your resume, as I said before, and we have a whole, I'm sorry I keep saying this, like keep plugging ourselves. But I really do want you to know, like when I say this and I'm just brushing over it, it's because we go into depth like in our episodes. So we have a whole episode on resumes and reels and all that. But make sure you have your resume, right? It's all together. Your credits are there. You built up your credits at this point. And having a demo reel is great. So that's your acting reel, which I believe we have a whole, we mm-hmm. spoke about that as well. So make sure you have your acting reel together. And if you don't have an acting reel, do not fret. Send in your best self tapes,
yes.
your most recent best self tapes. Now, but I haven't gotten any auditions recently. That's okay. Tape a monologue, tape a scene, but send in your most recent work. And there are no excuses, people. So I'm saying if you don't have a reel, because if you don't have a reel, it's okay. If you don't have a most recent auditions, because not everyone, I know getting auditions, even that alone is a blessing. And let's say mm-hmm. that hasn't happened, that's okay. Film a scene. But they want it.
They just want to see you. They want to see you work.
They just want to see you on camera.
Yeah. They want to,
yeah.
See how you are, how, like, if you're somebody they can see themselves working with, if you're somebody they can see booking and making them money, because that's their job, to make everybody money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what helps, but it's not mandatory, it just helps, is having an active social media presence. Like, use social media to your advantage. Make yourself.
Yeah, like, showcase your work. Like, there's that chick, I can't think of her name, but she's like, I think she's like 18 years old. She's on TikTok. You've probably seen her. And she literally would just post her doing those like voiceover things, like she would voice over a scene
yes.
and act. And now she's like a series regular on a like Disney Channel show, I think.
Oh, or like, I know who you're talking about. She has brown hair,
yeah,
dark brown hair.
Yeah, brown hair. And she's got like big eyes. She's really cute.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's
I
like.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Just posting yourself and posting your talent and what you can do in any form of social media. And you never know who's looking. You never know who's going to see it. And like shit like that can happen for you.
And I feel like we kind of covered this, but like the looking for agents that are suitable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just like, yeah, find agents that and a great resource for that is IMDb.
Yeah.
And what I do too is maybe you're like, oh, well, I don't know like what agencies to look up. You can look up like New York talent agencies and then go to their IMDb. Then I look up who they're representing, the mm-hmm. type of people they represent. I also go to actors that I admire or actors that are booking roles that I want or actors that kind of look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, who represents people kind of like me? And I look for those agents on IMDb. And another thing you do want to keep an eye out for, it's not always a red flag. I just like to be weary of it. When I'm looking at agents, I look at their client list and same thing with managers. And if I see they're like managing like 800 clients.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't want to like bash anybody who is like, if there are agents out there who do and they're like, yeah, but I can manage all 500 because they have a team of people. Usually
right.
It's not just like one person and 500 people. It's like a team. But still to me, I'm like, well then, but like how much could you possibly be like, how much attention could you possibly be giving to, I don't know, like however many people.
Yeah. And there's also like
team.
Time and place for that. Like if you're just
yeah.
trying to build up credits and you're just like trying to get some stuff on your resume, some small stuff like co-stars, whatever.
Yes.
Maybe it is okay for you to be with a bigger agency, with a, mm-hmm. you know, with an agent that has a lot of more clients that they're just like sending. And then once you get those credits, then that will be time for you to move on to a more like boutique agency where you can get more personal one-on-one. But it really like it's just dependent upon like what you're looking for. And that's why.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
You knowing what you're looking for and knowing your plan is so important because exactly like Also on IMDb, something else that you can do. So besides the like the whole, I think we've talked about this so many times. Like Liv was just saying, looking up the actors who look like you. Also looking up shows in your area that are filming. Going to those co-stars. Going to those like girl number one, bartender number two. Seeing who their agents are. There's also a tab. I think it's called Company Meter. And you could click on that and it rates all the agencies and managers in your area by their star meter. So obviously you're not going to like submit to like the biggest fucking agency in the world. But you scroll down a little bit and you get to like a couple down and then you could start going from there and then start clicking on them, opening them up, looking through and see if it works for you.
I like that. I forgot to mention that one. But yeah, the star meter is a great indicator as well. That's really good. Yeah.
And also like something like the star meter on IMDb, people look at it. Casting directors, they do look at it. I'm not sure about agents. I'm sure that they do at some point.
Now I'm like, oh, what's my star meter?
I know. I'm like constantly checking it and then it like goes down.
I'm like,
why is it going down? But
what does that mean though, Bix? When it's, do you know what it means if it's next to your name? Like, not like an agent, but you.
So,
your star meter.
The closer you are to zero is the more popular you are. The more, like, you're working a lot. People are looking you up. Like, you're, like, the most – it's kind of – from my understanding, it's kind of like your – like, kind of like a view count. Like, how many people are going to your page, interacting with your stuff, looking up your name, going through your credits, how many credits you have. It's just, like, a tracker of – progress of your work. So, you know, somebody
closer to zero?
Yeah, the closer you are to zero. So I think it's from like a million to zero. So like somebody like Sydney Sweeney is probably up in the like 1 to 100 range. And somebody more like you're a working actor, somebody like me, like who just started working in LA, who's kind of a new actor. Maybe I think I was around like 100, like 90,000 or something. So like that's far off, but you could get closer and closer the more you...
Wait, don't you want it to be high? I'm confused.
No. The lower your number is...
No.
Yeah, it's confusing because you would think that the higher it is better. But it's the lower that it is, the better it is.
Do you want it to be red?
That's something that I don't know because sometimes my number is the same from day to day, but it changes from red to green. So I don't know what I'm assuming green is good and red is bad.
Yeah, but I'm confusing. That's what I'm saying because so this month, maybe I don't want to share this with everybody, but... I'm like, because I don't know. Like, I don't know how this.
Well, anybody works. Who looks you up can also see your star meter. So it's public
right, so never
to
mind.
Everybody.
I don't even give a shit. Okay. So it says this month up 91,700.
Okay. So what is your star meter currently?
It says 131,000.
Okay. So you probably were. So oh my God, I'm trying to do math right now, but you were probably in the 200,000s. And then this month from probably all your auditions and booking and people going to your page and like getting these new credits, you went up 90,000, which is actually going down to 130,000.
Yeah.
Closer
see that,
to
like,
zero.
That bugs me out. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, backwards math.
Yes. Yeah. Bix is good at math. I'm not. So
I was at a time. I don't know about anymore, but... Back in the day, a little math wizard over here. I don't know what happened to me.
Math wizard.
I can't do anything anymore.
No, you can.
I can do anything I put my mind to. And yes. So can you.
Yeah. It's true. So now let's get to, right, you have the agents. You're like, these are the people I want. I know I want these people on my team.
Yeah.
These agents,
you got
I want
your
them
list.
Right now. I got them. I want them. So once you like have your list of agents, now you're going to start submitting. So you want to make sure that you have everything, like your resume, your headshot, your demo reel, or clips. And then you want to have a cover letter, right?
Before you submit, make sure to look on their website and to see their submission instructions.
Oh.
Some websites, like, they'll have a, you know, like a fill-out form to fill out. Some of them will have a specific email to use. So there's different protocols. So just like make sure you read that and you don't just like directly email someone when they're very specifically asking you not to do that on the website.
Bix is right. Read the fine print.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So before you do all that, do that first. Read.
And reading is good.
Reading is really good in this, especially in this industry. I mean, in a lot of industries, it's good, but especially in this one. And you want to make sure that you follow the submission guidelines, right? So now, like, and when you submit also, let's say it's an email, you want to make sure your subject line has a hook, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be something too generic, but something is that's going to, like, catch their eye.
Yeah.
Olivia Roldan, lead in Paramount feature film. That's not true. Yeah. But it was an example. But like something that's going to hook them, not just like some general title that they're going to go past. And then make sure your cover letter has a little bit of personality. Like let them get to know you besides like that you're an actor. They know that. But like, things about you like, I love hiking. I love the outdoors. Like, you know, just let them know like just some fun things about you. But then of course, like what your intention is, like let them know obviously why you're emailing them, what you're looking for, and that you would love to talk and maybe potentially work together. But they're people too. So try to keep it light, but like professional, but not too like serious.
Right, right. And that note, that's such a good piece of advice. It's something that I learned with my acting coach when I was in the intensive. Our final day of the intensive, she was like, I have a surprise for everybody. Normally we would just go in, do our scene, tape it, walk out, and then go back and break down the scene, watch it, whatever. But for this last day, her surprise was that we did like a mini like mock interview on tape as well. And then we watched back everybody's interviews. And all she really asked was like, oh, like, tell me a little bit about yourself. And it was a trap. Because you watch back all the tapes and all the actors are like, hi, my name is Samantha. I'm an actor. I started acting when I was 4. I was in this and then I was in this and then I was in this and then I worked on this and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's literally a trap because you think like, oh, I'm an actor. I have to tell them about my acting experience. But no, like they want to know about you. They want to know about you as the person. They know you're an actor. You're in the room. Like they have your resume. They'll see your credits. Like, and obviously it's okay if there's something you're really excited about. If you just book something or you just auditioned for something major, like, yeah, of course you can include that. But remember, like Liv said, they're a person. You're a person. We're all just people first. So I have taken that so strongly and have literally stopped mentioning anything about my acting career when I'm interviewing with somebody or speaking with somebody or at an audition. I'm just talking about myself. Unless you ask me specifically about my acting career, I'm not telling you about it. I'm telling you, I make bonnets in my spare time. I like to go to the dog park. That's what they want to know you. So remember that. Don't fall into the trap.
Don't fall into the trap. I love that. Yeah. And then anybody who wants to, I mean, most agents, managers who want to meet you, they're interested in representing you. So they're likely going to want to meet you, if not in person, over Zoom. A lot of stuff is over Zoom now. So they might want to meet you through Zoom. They may want to have a phone call with you. And you want to be prepared to, you know, they sometimes may ask for like a cold read, right? I've been asked sometimes to do monologues. I've been asked to do a scene. But also you want to make sure that you have questions ready for them as well. And you want to make sure that it's not just them asking you questions and that you have nothing to ask them. It's okay. Like there's a reason why they go, hey, do you have any questions? Like don't be afraid.
Like that's your moment. Like we're all here on the outside, like looking in, trying to be like, what goes on the other side of this? And we're all trying to figure it out. And just like us, we have this podcast and we're doing research. You're in the room with the person that you want to know these answers. So like have those questions, have them ready. I literally right after this, I have a workshop that's through my acting studio. They started doing, it's the first one. They added like an industry hour. It's over Zoom. It's an hour long and it's going to be with different agents. So every week a new agent is going to be on the thing. And this week it just so happens that the one agent that I, she's literally the end. She's like the pot of gold at the end of my rainbow, because yes. every show I look up, every actor that I click on and I'm like, okay, who's she represented by? It all goes back to her. It's like, it was almost comical that like I had so many tabs open and I'd be like, click, click, click. And it would all just be like Aqua talent. So yeah. I immediately signed up for the class and we prepare a scene, a really short scene that we're going to present mm-hmm. and then questions. And to prepare for that, I picked a really short scene that I worked on in class with my acting coach. So I already know it's like a great scene. I've worked on it a bunch. Smart. It's really funny. I think it really like showcases my comedy and my just like technique. And I also researched her and I found out that she was on 3 different podcasts. And I sat one day and I listened to all 3 podcasts back to back. And I listened to her talk and what she expects from her actors in meetings and what she like, what she values.
Look
as
at you.
I know. I was like,
prepared
who am I?
Actor.
Yeah. And she was, yeah, just like all of the things that like I need to know about her to know. What are, if she would work for me, if I would work for her, and we seem to really align. I prepared some questions. After this, I'm going to prepare a couple more, go over my materials.
Good.
But yeah, like it's just being prepared is so important. So it's like one of the most important things that you can do before going into these sessions, just so you come off professional. You know what you want.
Absolutely.
And they can feel confident that you're going to make them money.
And you're going to give it to them. Absolutely. I love that. Like, and that's how you should approach even all your auditions. Like if you have an opportunity mm-hmm. and if they also tell you, hey, watch this clip. So you get an idea. Watch
the clip.
Like they told you this will help you. So do it if it's going to mm-hmm. help you. So that's what I do. Like sometimes, and if they say, this character is a combination of Jenna Ortega and this other character from the show, because it actually happened in an audition, I literally went to the show and watched a clip from it just to get an idea of the tone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like, and I'll do that on YouTube. I'll YouTube just clips. Like, you don't have to sit there and watch the whole show, but just to get like the idea, the vibe, right?
Right.
And then like one thing I wanted to touch on, because we're nearing the end, I realize, but I really want to just establish the difference between an acting and a manager so people can really understand if you're new to the industry.
Yes, tell us, Liv.
I think that's super important. When an agent, really, they just submit you to roles. And so hopefully you get the job, but they send you to the auditions. Managers really are there more to help like establish your brand, maybe help advance your career. They are a little bit more personal, in my opinion, the manager. The agent, their job, only job really, is to submit right. you for these roles and then you audition and that's it. Manager is a little bit more personal, a little bit more one-on-one attention, and then they help you mold your brand, help you with your marketing material, help you maybe with like certain classes you should take, give you mm-hmm. advice, but they really help you advance your career. And that's when you ask yourself, when do I need a manager? I personally do not think you need a manager when you first start. That is my opinion. I think that's, you start with an agent, get the jobs, get the credits on your resume, then look at the title, manager, manage. If there's no career to manage, why do you need a manager? Like, not to be sorry.
Look at the name, manager. If there's no career, there's no career to manage.
I sounded like a bitch, and I was like, just look at the title. But really, though, like, sorry, that was
no. You're
sorry
right,
about that, guys. But I had a moment. But really, though, like manager, like they're managing your career. But if there's no career yet, which is okay to manage, you don't need it. And like, you also, like, why would you want more people taking your money if you don't
need
that person?
Yeah, if you're not at that step yet.
If you're not at that step yet, just have an agent. You can also freelance. That's always an option in some places. I know that's not always an option with every agent, but if they give you the option to freelance, I think it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
When you freelance with an agent, what that means is that you're not bind to them, so that you can work with other agents while you work with them as well. So you can work with 2-3 people. But I always like to say, don't work with too many.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's also strategic at all. Yeah, agents can take 10%. When you are contracted to them and they get you the job, they get 10%. So when you're freelancing and you book something outside of it and you are not contracted with your agent, they don't get a percent of that job, right? Because you're not contracted. But if you are contracted with them during that contract, it doesn't matter. If they booked it directly or you booked it outside of them, they still get a percentage of your pay. So I do want to clarify that. And that exact same rule applies to managers, except managers can take more of your pay, mm-hmm. the 15 to 20%. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Bix?
I think we did a pretty good job. It's a little overwhelming and like daunting, the whole process of submitting to an agent. So I feel like in order to make it a, and on like, and I like literally speaking from very real time personal experience, I have been, you know, I got my new headshots taken in September. It took me forever to pick the right shot because I'm like, what if I pick the wrong one? And then I spend money to get it retouched on this and this. And it like, and then I'm looking at my reel and I'm like, but is it perfect? And then I'm looking at my resume. I'm like, is it perfect? And I kept trying to alter things like here and there and waiting for them to be like this perfect specimen to send in. And I think it's going to be like this golden ticket to like solve all my problems. Yes. And I've been working really hard to not continue that, because that's something that I do in every aspect of my life. I push everything to the last minute because I'm expecting it to at some point reach a level of perfection that's just not there. It's just not possible to have. So I have to work on like just breaking that habit and accepting what I have, being confident in what I have, and just doing it, biting the bullet and doing the thing. So I empathize with all of you out there. If you're listening to this and you're like, holy fuck, like, what am I going to do? Are my materials good enough? Am I good enough?
Yes.
You are. And if you need help in any of those aspects, like, please go back and listen to our other episodes. I have to say for myself, I think we do a pretty good job at like breaking it down in very like digestible bits. And
yes.
And that's also what we're trying to do for you guys. Like, we don't want to throw too much on you and make you feel like more stressed and overwhelmed than you probably already feel. Just know that as long as your materials reflect you authentically, mm-hmm. that's as perfect as they can be. Send them out, do your research, do what you got to do, and then just let the wind take it and you sit back and you keep working, keep submitting, keep doing your thing, keep staying creative, keep doing things that you love and keeping yourself happy. And whatever comes back to you is going to come back to you, and it's okay. And also, it's not a reflection of you as a person. If you submit to all of these agencies and you don't hear back from any, or you only hear back from one, there's so many things that go into it. The same thing with casting. Like, you could be too short. You could be too, like, you know, it could be like crazy things that are like out of your control. Like, you can look like five people they already have on their roster. They could not have space on their roster for any new people. Like, there's so many factors that go into it, but it's never about you as a person. So yeah, just like, don't take it to heart, and it keep that confidence instilled in you, because like Liv said at the top of this, we are our only cheerleaders and we are our number one cheerleaders. And if we don't have ourselves, then who do we got?
Bix, that was excellent advice. And I think that's a beautiful way to wrap everything up. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Giving myself a little pep talk.
I know.
As well.
Well, guys, I really hope that you found that helpful. And if there's any questions you have, please feel free to reach out to us at our email. It's at liveandbix@gmail.com. Check out our Instagram, ITM with Liv and Bix. And then Liv and Bix on TikTok.
Liv and Bix. And
Yeah. And then you can just, I always ask Bix this, but our Instagram is ITM with Liv and Bix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm always like, I always get confused with in the moment, or I was like, do we spell it out? Anyways, yeah, check us out. And Bix, do you have anything else you want to say?
I just want to say thank you so much to everybody for listening. And if you have a spare moment and you find it in your heart to leave us a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps our podcast and, you know, reach more people, and we could build a better community of just helping people out. Also, if there's anything you want us specifically to talk about that we haven't spoken about yet, again, feel free to reach out to us. And yeah, like, I feel like we can have a little segment of answering like listeners' questions or something. So
yeah, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. So if you got anything, send them in. And thank you so much. We love you.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into The Moment with us.
Our amazing cover art is by @hyperjuice on Instagram.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram @ITM with Liv and Vic.
Like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Also, if you're feeling extra generous, we won't hate it if you rate and review.
Bye! Bye.